Good to know that as we live out our lives, we have a God who is so gracious and so kind to us that he's not left us without hope. Tonight, I would like to attract your attention to a passage of scripture that Elder Crawford has just read out of John chapter 6 and verse number 33. John chapter 6 and verse number 33. Jesus Christ speaking says, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." In John chapter 6 and verse number 56, Jesus Christ again speaking, he says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." That's an integral relationship that a people has with the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me just briefly to John chapter 14 and verse number 20. John chapter 14 and verse number 20, Jesus Christ speaking again. He says, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. Romans 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." There's a number of passages of Scripture in the New Testament that deals with the fact that though there are a people who are in Christ Jesus, and he is in them, and Christ Jesus and those that Christ are in the Father. All right, now go back with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is to the Gospel of John like Romans chapter 8 is to the Roman letter. The Apostle Paul wrote the Roman letter. He began with Romans chapter 1, and he begins to build up to a pinnacle point. And he came to that pinnacle point in Romans chapter 8 when he gave those powerful 5 points of declaration of our faith, those things that we hold to be so very true in Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. John builds by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he builds his message from John chapter 1 up to John chapter 6. John tells in his writings of many different accounts. He describes in John chapter 1 about the Word that was with God. He tells about the Word that was with God, and that Word was God. Plain and simple, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He talks about the darkness that comprehended not the light. There is a darkness in this world that comprehends not, nor understands, nor sees, nor perceives the light. So John tells about that, and in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, he tells about those who cannot see. If you have not been born of the Spirit, there's something that you cannot see. He says you cannot see the kingdom if you have not been born again. In John chapter 3 and verse number 16, that's most famous passage of Scripture, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In John chapter 6, We find in verse number 5, the Lord is asking Philip a question. He says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip's response to the Lord was, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. There are so many people here, Lord, that a year's wages would not be enough to feed this group of people. But the Lord then took two fishes and 5 barley loaves and fed the 5,000. Now that was impossible, my friends. Philip did not know how. They did not have the money. They did not have the means wherewith they could feed that large group of people. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word himself, fed them according to his will and purpose and his might. A little further into John chapter 6, the Lord had sent the brethren out. They were on the sea, and the Lord came walking unto them on the sea. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to tell you something, my friends. We can simulate a lot of things, but you ain't going to walk on the water. He who walks on the water can do anything that he desires to do. You agree with that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, walked on the water. All right. In John chapter 6, there are a number of words that I would like to attract your attention to. Now, the Lord willing, I'm going to finish here in a little over 30 minutes. So I want you to follow me because we're going to move, okay? All right. The first word that I want to attract your attention to is the word believeth. Let's find it. It's a number of places here. In chapter 6, verse number 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. All right. Let's just deal for a moment with the word believeth. All right, tonight I want each one of you to go home and take your concordance and look up the word believeth, giveth, eateth, and all those eth words in John chapter 6. Find every one of those eth words, and I want you to find what tense they're in. I'm going to tell you for this point. The tense of these words is in the historical present. Well, what in the world does that mean? That means a state of being. My wife travels with me a lot. She travels with me a lot, and she likes to sew while we're traveling. She'll sew for a while, and then I'll look over and Sarah sleepeth. Occasionally one of the girls would call and say, I want on the cell phone, say, I want to talk to Mama. I say, well, Mama sleepeth. The girls don't care. They say, wake her. But I know better. If Mama sleepeth, that is time to leave Mama as she sleepeth. Now, sleepeth doesn't mean that Mama is planning to go to sleep. Sleepeth doesn't mean that Mama has been asleep. That doesn't mean that Mama tomorrow night will go to sleep. That doesn't mean that Mama is able to go to sleep. That means that Mama is asleep. Right. All right? So the Word of God says, he that believeth is he that's in a state of what? Believe. Go ahead and say it. It's safe. I'm not setting a trap for you. You know, I like to set traps, but I'll let you know. I'll give you a hint that a trap is coming. But he that believeth is he that's in a state of belief. All right, what about he that eateth? He that eateth, we're going to find that in a moment where we've already read. It's already been read here tonight. He that eateth is he that's in a state of eating. It's not he that's planning to eat. We sat down in here just a little while ago, and we sat down at the table, and it could have been said of everyone that I looked at that they eateth. That means that they're eating at that time. They are in a state of eating, not planning to eat, can eat, should be, might eat, but they are in a state of eating. All right, let's pick this up now. in John chapter 6, verse number 26. And Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." There were those in that day that were seeking Jesus Christ for material reasons. They could eat the natural bread, my friends, but they were not eating the spiritual bread. All right, verse number 27. He says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life." This bread, my friends, that the children of God are eateth of is a bread that endureth unto eternal life. That means it don't get old. Have you ever opened up a loaf of bread and looked in there and there was green mold on the top? You had your slice of ham out, you had your cheese out, you had your mayonnaise out, and those of you who eat that old lettuce, you get that stuff and you got that out there and open up the bread and there's mold on it. My friend, this bread that you eateth of will never get old and moldy. It endureth unto eternal life. And it's good to know that, my friends, because we need the care, the nourishment of the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our life. All right? "Which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." That means he has been secured. He's there. He's always been there. He's here, and he'll always be there. Y'all agree with that? "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works?" You English majors, pay attention. Are you ready? I know it's late on Saturday night, and it's awful to be the last preacher on Saturday night. But this is grammar class, okay? Did y'all like grammar class in high school and college? Say no. Okay. We'll make it quick, okay? "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of" who? Are you reading? You're not saying anything. Are you awake? "Work the works of" who? They're asking Jesus Christ, "What can we do that we can work the works of God?" All right, verse number 21. "Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work." There's a preposition. "This is the work of God." Listen now. "That ye believe on him whom he hath sent." It's the work of God that you believe on him whom he hath sent. All right, now, there's a couple points I want to make about this. I want to do it in a hurry. In that case, it's a work that you believe. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8 tells us very clearly that, those of you who are not familiar with it, let's go look at it. There may be some here that's not familiar. Primitive Baptists are classically familiar with Ephesians 2 and 8. Well, just in case you're not, let's look at it. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Not of what? "Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his what? Workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. All right? Jesus said, he says, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." They said, therefore unto him, "What sign shewest thou then, that we may see and believe thee, whom thou, what thou, dost thou work?" He says, they're asking me, they say, "We need some evidence that you're who you say you are. We need some evidence that all these things you're telling us is true. We need some evidence so that we can believe." Now listen to what he's just done. In John chapter 5, around the pool of Bethesda, a man that had been lame for 38 years, Jesus Christ told that man to arise and take up his bed and walk, didn't he? All right. In this same chapter, Jesus Christ had just fed the 5,000 with 2 fishes and 5 loaves, didn't he? Jesus Christ had just walked on the water. All right, if you had seen Jesus Christ feed 5,000 with 2 loaves and 5 fishes, would you believe what he said then? All right, if you had seen him walking on the water, would you believe that he was the Son of God? Well, they didn't. Did they have evidence? They were asking the Lord, says, well, give us something so that we can believe. My goodness, the Lord had been giving it to them and showing and demonstrating all kinds of miraculous things, and they still did not believe. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father, here's that word, giveth, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. My Father giveth you, it is continually nourishing you. This bread is as that which is given to you and is now in you and will continue in you. He giveth this bread to you. For the bread of God is, boy, little words sometimes are so very important. Listen now. He says, for the bread of God is he. The bread of God is he. He's not talking about the gospel bread. He's not talking about the communion bread. But that communion bread represents Jesus Christ. He says, this do in remembrance of me, because it points to the bread. And so this he is not the gospel bread. It's not even the written bread. It's not the communion bread. But my friends, it is he himself. Because we've already read to you that if you're a child of God, chosen in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, you are in him, he's in you, and you are in the Father. All right? He says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Verse number 34, he says, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. The bread was before them and they didn't even recognize it. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, the word believe, listen to what he says, and he that believeth on me. That word believeth is in the historical present tense. That means you're in a state of believing. Well, what does that mean? One of our dairy farmer families up in the state of Wisconsin raises goats. Back in the latter part of February, the first week in March, they had about 150 little baby goats born. Those are the cutest little things. I'm sorry, I know that he separated the goats from the sheep, but you'll have to forgive me. Those goats were the cutest little things. And Sister Lita fed them. There she is, raise your hand. Sister Lita fed them. Just take them up in your arms and hold them. They fed them by the bottle, and they were so cute looking and just so loving. They look at you, they just look up at you and say, would you give me a hug? Would you hold me close? They just looked so tender. Sarah, my wife, just loves feeding those little fellows. But one night, I learned a very important principle there with those goats. They took the little goats, the little kid goats, away from the nanny goats as soon as they were born. And they began to feed the little kid goats with a bottle. And the little kid goats were all together, little pen over here, and the nanny goats were all over there. And that little kid goat would begin to cry like a little baby. And that mama goat, that nanny goat over here, she could hear that one little kid goat crying, and she knew which one was her goat. And when that nanny goat would cry out to that little kid goat knew which one was its mama. I tested it. We let those nanny goats come up to a gate. I told Brother Galvin Tenpass, I said, "Are you seeing what I'm seeing?" He says, "I think so." We brought all those little fellows up there, all those little goats, and they all look alike. Nanny goats are on the other side. New little kid goats down there just a-crying for their mamas. Every mama went to their own kid, and every kid recognized his own mama. Now you say, "Well, that's just goats." All right, I'm going to give you another example. Little Colin Tenpass over here, Colin Myers, I'll get my names together directly. Little Colin Myers, he's asleep over here now. When he was 3 weeks old, Sister Kim brought him to church up in Wisconsin. And I love to hold babies. Oh, I love little babies. And I took little Colin in my arms and I wanted him to smile. I wanted him to talk to me. I wanted to have a relationship with this little fella. But he started crying. I heard his mama across the room ask, "Well, is he all right?" And those little ears just perked up and his head began to turn because he knew that voice. Mama knew her baby, and that baby knew its mama's voice. And when I put that baby in his mama's arms, that baby quit crying. Now, if you'd have said to Colin, "Now, Colin, before I give you to your mama, I need to know what your mama's name is." Colin couldn't have told me his mama's name if his life depended upon it. But he knew who his mama was. And mama knew who Colin was. And I guarantee you that boy knew who his mama was. There was a scientific report that came out. It was actually reported on television not long ago. To prove the fact, it was tested and proved that when a baby is born, it knows its mother's voice. It knows its mother. Now, what about if a baby is separated from its parents? When this awful tsunami hit the Far East here a while back, there was a little baby that was separated from its parents. And everybody wanted that baby. There were folks coming from everywhere to claim that baby. They were doing everything within their power to get that baby. And somebody had to decide who that baby belonged to. They didn't want to just give it to everybody because everybody wanted it. I want to tell you something, my friends. When you're born to the Spirit, everybody wants you too. But you have only one set of parents in the Spirit, my friends. They took a little DNA from that little baby and took a little bit from each one that was claiming that little baby, and guess how many matched? One mama and one daddy. That baby is permanently attached to its parents by the DNA that is in it. It is permanent. And somebody else might have got that baby and taught that baby that somebody else was its mom and daddy. They may have taught it that, but nobody else would have been that baby's mom and daddy. All right, let's go back to our text now. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." He that is feeding on me shall never thirst. Now, there's another point I want to make before we move on. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. A little baby that is in its mother's womb will wake up about 3 o'clock in the morning and say, "Mom, I'm hungry, bring me something to eat." You sisters agree with that? Do you have to wake up the baby at about 8 o'clock in the morning and say, "Honey, it's time to eat"? Do you? That baby is attached to its mother and it eateth from its mother. It's a perpetual feeding. It eateth from its mother. Now listen to our text again. And he that believeth on me shall, what's the next word? Never thirst. He that's in this state of belief shall never thirst. You're in a perpetual state of nourishment from the Lamb of God himself. All right, he says, but I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. There were those who saw the Lamb of God and did not believe. There are those who saw him perform great miracles and still did not believe. But we have not seen him with the natural eye today, but yet we believe. Why? Because, my friends, we're nourished perpetually upon the body, the person of Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Now listen to what else he said. All that the Father giveth me, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, we've read several passages of Scripture enough for us to understand that we are in Christ Jesus and nourished on Christ Jesus. Now, how long have we been in Christ Jesus? How long have the children of God been nourished on Christ Jesus? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Listen to carefully now. According as he hath chosen us. Here's another little preposition. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. My friends, how long have you been associated with Jesus Christ? Since before the foundation of the world. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now, this coming in particular has to do with something extraordinary that happens to you in this life. When little Colin was born, it knew its mother. And I know that it knew its mother because I saw him respond to his mother's voice. There's a time, my friends, when the children of God respond to the voice of the Lamb of God. There's a response to it. They may not know his name. They may not know all the events of his life. But a child of God who is born to the Spirit responds to the Lord himself. He knows his name. In John chapter 10, he tells him of himself as being the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. My friends, there is an eternal relationship between the children of God that has always been and always will be. And at rebirth, we come to know him. There's a difference in knowing him and knowing about him. All right, let's read on. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that has sent me. This is the will of the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again in the last day. That's a very powerful declaration. Not one will be lost. And this is the will of him that has sent me, that of everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. There's something missing out of the King James Bible here. Y'all are laughing. Do you see the word will in there? Let's read it the way it's popularly used. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and will believe on him may have everlasting life. That's not the way it is it? He's talking about those who believeth, those who are in a state of belief that's brought about not by the will of man, but the will of God that is in the man. Okay, or working in the man. And I will raise him up in the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They were concerned about that. You know what? They knew what he was talking about. They knew exactly what he was talking about. He knew that he was telling them that he was God. And they were concerned. You know why? Because they had gods of their own. Their principal God was themselves. He says, and they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? We know him. He's been around. We know where he came from. How can he say that it is he that came down from heaven? You know what they're saying? They're saying, how can he say that he's God? They knew what the Messiah was. They knew that he was coming. They knew why he was coming. How could he say that he's the one? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. No one is going to have this relationship with Jesus Christ unless he grants it to them. He draws them by his power and not by their power. This relationship is an occurrence that's brought about by the power of Jesus Christ and him alone. All right? And I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught. Listen now. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught. Are you with me? Everybody reading. We have another preposition here. We need to tell you, this is back to English class. And they shall all be taught of God. That is properly addressed as if it read this way. And they shall all be taught about God. If Jesus Christ had meant to use the word about, he would have used the word about is in the Bible. I want to show that to you. Go with me to Acts chapter 11. I believe is where we'll find it. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen. The word about is in the Bible. If Jesus Christ was trying to teach that those who had a relationship with God were those who were taught about the Lord, that's what he would have said. Don't you agree? Amen. All right, what did he say then? He says, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. Learned of the Father. That means your learning came from who? This relationship came from who, my friends? Not from your neighbor. This relationship didn't come from your pastor. This relationship did not come from the gospel message. This relationship came from the Father himself, because you were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. He dwells in you, you in him, and the two of you in Father. Amen. All right, he says in verse number 46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, what's the next word? Hath everlasting life. He that is in a state of belief hath. Not can have, should have, might have, and will have one day if you check off all the blocks, but hath everlasting life. Jesus Christ goes on to say, I am the bread of life. This bread of life is that which nourishes you, my friends. This is that which brings life unto you. He has quickened you by the Spirit, and you have life in you. You have anticipation in you. You have hope in you. You have joy in you. You have faith in you, because he is your life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. The natural bread. God gave them that. But that was a physical bread. This is a different bread. This is the bread which, listen to this now. Here's another one of those eth words, the historical present tense. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Why would he say cometh down? Because he has a people yet in this world that's being nourished by the Spirit and the power of God. This bread, my friends, will not cease. It will endure unto eternal life, unto the day that Christ Jesus comes again. The children of God will be nourished by this bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not what? Die. That word die is associated with the word that means to be separated. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon tells us that when we die, he explains the process of death. There's a separation. The body returns to the dust for which it came, but the spirit returns to the Father which gave it. There's a separation. My friends, he's telling us that those who eat thereof, those who are in the state of belief, will never be separated from God himself. Now that's good news, isn't it? Never be separated from the God of heaven that chose you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. That's the reason Jesus Christ said, of all that the Father hath given me, I have lost none. He says, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is what has been preached to you already tonight. Jesus Christ himself, which I will give him for the life of the world. The Jews were upset about that. In verse number 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? How can this be? You know, today, those who are not being fed on the Lamb of God said, that's the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard of. How can you eat on another man's body? It does sound a bit ridiculous from a natural view, doesn't it? But my friends, if you have life in Christ, you are in a state of nourishment. You're in a state of belief. Verse number 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no... Elder Crawford has already told you that that blood means what? Life. If you are not being nourished on the Lamb of God, you have no spiritual life in you. But if you're being nourished, you have spiritual life in you, and it can never be taken away from you. All right, in verse number 54. Here it is again. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood... The next word is so vitally important. He that eateth and drinketh hath. Not can have, should have, might have, has a potential to have, but hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. With that, go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What do we have to look for? Those who are nourished on the Lamb of God. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13, he says, but I would not have you ignorant, to be ignorant, brethren. I want you to know, those of you who are interested, those of you who are nourished on the Lamb of God, there's something so special, something so precious that I want you to know about. I don't want you to miss this piece of information. This is vital to you. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. And we know that he's talking about those who are dead. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And what's he going to do, my friends? He is going to command, the graves will open, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we'll all be caught up together with him where we shall ever be. The very last verse is, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. My friends, you have a friend that indeed sticketh closer than a brother. He sticketh closer than a brother in that he is your spiritual nourishment. He feeds you. He nourishes you. And he'll never cease to nourish you. We do have a friend that is closer than a brother. May God bless you, is my prayer.